Is it me?
Okay, so I have a not take three on this machlokas of about the two of the Os Kfula, the same letters. Okay? Maybe you got it. It's a refinement of yesterday's. It's not a whole new take. But better than machlokas. I don't know, the machlokas was a little weak yesterday. So let's just review and I'll... okay, this is also essentially from Ilan. Okay? So the deal is like this, that... So again, the machlokas is when you write a miktsa, so you write Shem Yishimon, so you're chayif writing a miktsas because it has the character of being a word, and you try to write a word, and you are writing a word. So that's necessary. You have to write a word because for miktsas you have to be involved in the qualitatively. You have to be involved in that which you were yekavana for. But it's lacking in quantity. So that's the idea of miktsas. So the machlokas was, does this idea of miktsas of Shem Yishimon work if they're the same letter? If it's sheish mishash batzar, okay. So where you have sheish, it's two of the same letter. So the question is, does the same deal work? Okay. So again, of course, the question is, what's the difference? Why not? Yechayev for writing sheish, certainly. So why should you say that this idea of the miktsas of Shem Yishimon doesn't work by sheish mishash batzar? What's the difference? Why would it matter? So we said yesterday that there's an idea of that the full. We said yesterday that the full productivity of words comes when you have different letters. Okay, we have distinct letters. Like the idea of words, as opposed to letters, like words are where you combine the various letters and form a new entity called a word. And when you make a word out of two of the same letter, like sheish or gag, so that lacks in the full productivity of a word. Okay, lacks in the full productivity of word making. Okay, because again, the full productivity is you have various different letters which you combine together in a way which forms a greater whole. So the full productivity of a word is where you have a word which is comprised of different letters. Okay, that's what we said yesterday. So now, so if you intend to write shashbetzar, so you are intending to write a word which partakes of the full productivity of word writing. And now when you wrote sheish, you are writing a word which does not partake of that full productivity. Okay? Which is not the case by Shem and Shimon. They both partake of that. Ah. So the question is, so what's the machlokas? Okay, so what's the machlokas? Okay? And the basic way it does, do you say it's a miktsas if it doesn't, if what you were doing was something which had that productivity and now that which you did does not have that productivity. But what are the two sides? So you may feel a little, in a certain sense, you may be skeptical of the idea itself, or something bothered you about saying that it's less productivity. Or in some sense you kind of hear it, but in some sense you kind of don't hear it. I feel that way. But I think the reason why is because there's two frameworks. There's the framework of the productivity involved in producing the word, and then there's the framework of the word itself. See, as a word itself, it's a word. A word's a word. I mean, a word is something which conveys meaning. And sheish conveys six, and sheva conveys seven. And it's, so who cares? And as in a word, insofar as it's a word, they're both words. Equally words. But insofar as the creating the word, insofar as the creation of the word, so the one of them involved more creativity or ingenuity, so to speak, because it involved like a mastery, like combining different letters in a way which could emerge to get to a greater whole. So to speak, if you write sheish, as you just repeated the same letter twice, so it lacks in the productivity of the action, it lacks in the productivity of the action. But in the chafza which exists, you have a word sheish and a word sheva. They're both words. And sheish and shoshpetza are both words. They're both in this chiluk of saying that multiple letters is a chiluk insofar as the creation of the word, not insofar as the existence of the chafza itself. So the question is when you say that you need miktsas has to partake of the kulo, okay, so they have the quality of the kulo, does it just mean insofar as the chafza is concerned, that the chafza you are trying to create must have the miktsas must partake of the quality of the chafza which you are going for. So if you are going for a chafza of a mila, of a word, so now the miktsas has to be a word. So, but it's purely in the chafetza. So then, the fact that it's a word with different letters doesn't affect the chafetza. It's just a word. So you were trying to write a word, and you did write a word. So there's nothing lacking. Or do you say that the miktas must reflect the kulo, not just insofar as the chafetza is concerned, but the maisa, the productivity of the miktas, of the creating of the miktas, must partake of the full productivity of the creating the kulo, although it lacks in quantity. If that's the case, then the productivity involved in creating the kulo has the highest productivity of a word, namely of various letters, whereas the productivity of writing sheish does not partake of that. So the question is, if the din miktza, so when you say the miktza has to reflect the kulo, is that purely in terms of the chafetza which you're creating, or it even extends to the productivity in the act and the activity itself? It is a good point David's mentioning, is like if you were trying to write shashesh, which is a three-letter word, and you wrote shesh, so then you'd be chayiv. Because even though the two letters are the same, but shashesh also doesn't partake of that full of productivity. So it just partakes of the... It's not because it's going from 5 to 2, and those two are the same. It's because you're going from a word of varied letters to a word of two of the equal letters. That's the problem. Which, right, that's the problem. Not just the fact that two of them are the same. But in general, you don't have that example. But I mean, I'd say Enochanami, that would be an Achminus as well. But... So try to disprove that one. It's like, I'm just saying, back to the main idea. It's like, if you write... Shin, if you're adding a regular word, let's say shame, so you're doing is there are two letters in the alphabet which you're selecting, two different letters, and you're writing them in a certain succession, and thereby creating an entity. If you're writing the word shesh, you're just writing the letter shin twice. So that's not very productive. Now, sure, at the end of the day, that's all it all takes to create the word, and shesh is a word just like shame is a word. But in terms of the process and the productivity, a person isn't making use of the various components of the alphabet. He just knows, all he knows is shin. Maybe that's the only thing he knows how to make, so to speak. And he's just saying, shin, shin, oh, that turns out it's a word. So, and the net result, the chafetza is the same, it's a word. But it doesn't reflect the full productivity of an alphabet, of a language with an alphabet. The productivity is where he's pulling from the alphabet. If he writes one letter, he's not pulling from an alphabet, he's just writing a letter, a symbol, he's repeating a symbol. But once there's more than one letter, so then he's making use of the various symbols, and thereby he's creating, you know, that's a greater level of productivity. So you could argue the miktzas has to reflect the highest productivity of the kulo in the action itself. So then it's gonna have to be different letters. But if it's just in the chafetza, then it doesn't really matter because the chafetza is just a word. A word's a word. So just Michael went to ask yesterday that if you make why it is in roshim that you have to make why do you need two? So the idea is demarcating the object. Then you make one mark. You should be demarcating it. So the Ron asks the question because Rabbi Yossi says you can make two marks on one beam, or you can make one mark which goes across two beams, and thereby marks two of them. So he says, why not if you make just one mark on one beam? So he says the Ron says, Chiddush Ron says because that's not really I forget his exact lashon, but he says it's not really nicker. It's not really like that, it's a mark. It's just, you happen to be to make a line. There are lines that you make a line, lines that can be anywhere. But it's when you have two lines, that reflects that you're involved in making and demarcating. Or if you have one line which spans two objects, so then it's now there's a demarcation here. It's once there's a doubleness, so then it reflects it's not just a fluke. But a line, it can be a line on anything. Although it's difficult, I mean, that's by a line, but let's say it's like triangles. Then it's not so easy, you know? I mean, with the Ron hold, if you make a triangle, like, no, you don't just happen to make a triangle in a random place, but you'll buy a triangle, then you only need one? I don't think so. But, I don't know.
Right.
But it could be he'll just say, that the shear was set up at two because of that. I mean, it's when you're dealing with marks, if you're dealing with letters, then, well, a letter in theory could be seen in its own right, but a mark could just be like a little nothing. So therefore, the two is what's necessary to make it into, to make it significant. Now, it could be one mark would be enough, but it could be there's a shear for the Malachas Roshem across the board, so the shear is set up in a way which will suffice for all different Roshimas. And you can look at it. I'm just, I wasn't really minding it that much, but you can look at it. You take a look at it with Sean if you want to know. Just Michael asked yesterday, it just happened to cross my eye. So, yeah. I mean, again, we said the Rambam, we had a different answer for it, but saying Lishiran addresses that. It's a good question. I mean, you have to look at the Ron, see what he's holding. I mean, the Bryce is just saying if you make the two Rishimos, maybe it holds if you make Shani. I'll say Nechanami. What do you say? It's be Chashiv as a Roshim. So if it's triangle, it's Chashiv by one. If it's a line, it's not Chashiv unless it's two. Or you can argue, no, that it was a San Nikva at two because of it will work even for lines. I'm not sure. You can look at the Ron. I wasn't thinking about that when I looked at it. But you take a look at it. Maybe I'll take a look at it again. Okay, but let's move on. I just mentioned that because Michael asked yesterday. So, okay, any other questions? Let's move on. So what we're doing today is a new shita. It's about the Aleph Azreka. Okay, so the question is, if you're writing the word Azreka, Aleph, Zion, Resh, Kaf, Sofit, and you're trying to write that word, and then you stop after Aleph. So all you have is Aleph, which is not a word. Okay, for all standard purposes, it's not a word. So therefore, the simple way to learn, most simple shita to learn, Saitana Kama, Rabbi Yehuda, then you're not going to be chayiv, because that's not a word. And since you were involved in the productivity of a word, not of letters, so therefore, you can't say it's a miktas if you only write letters. Aleph is only a letter. But Rabbi Shimon, again, the Gemara doesn't conclude this, Rabbi Shimon holds this, but at this stage in the game, Rabbi Shimon says, no. That Aleph is used in by Kamea writers, okay, by amulet writers. Amulet writers like to throw in funny-looking words, and they make up their own words. And even though Aleph doesn't spell anything, the Kamea writers don't really care about that. I was saying perhaps they, on the contrary, it's a Kiyam in their magical sorcery type of stuff, that they write things which a person looks at and they think, whoa, this must be magical. Doesn't mean anything, you know. The Kamea is just going to say, may you have good health. It's not going to be so exciting. No one's going to, you know, I can make one of those my own. But if it writes Aleph and funny symbols and codes and whatever, they think, wow, this guy must be a pro. You know, he knows some other language, the language of the demons, perhaps, or something like that. I'm just conjecturing. But either way, for whatever reason, however it is, I don't think it's really relevant to this discussion, but amulet writers used to write things which were not words. They'd write Aleph. And therefore, the question Rabbi Shimon argues, he says, so that's a word. It's true, it may not be in very wide usage, but there is a class of the population known as amulet writers, and they use Aleph. So therefore, should be good for anybody. Why not? That's a word. Like, let's say you have a word. Let's say pi. P-I. Well, maybe only mathematicians use that. But whatever. I mean, since when does a word have to be used by... Maybe that could be his argument. I mean, who said words have to be used by many, many, many people? Whatever. It's a class of people who use the word. So that's a word. But the Chacham say, no, it's not a word. It's not a word. Since it's normally not a word, it's not a word. So the question is, what's the machlokas? And if you look at the way Rabbi Shimon says it in the Braisa, he says, that has to be miskayim. So Ken, that's what you're saying is like kiyam? Is that where you're getting that from? Or it just fits in with what you're saying? Yeah. It says kiyam. So you're saying is that Aleph has kiyam, but it's not quite a word. Maybe just a methodology point here. I mean, you guys have good ideas, but like, what are we defining? Like, what are the two sides about? Like, what's the question which you have to have two answers to? Like, just in terms of what's going on here, what's the question which the Chakira is revolving around? Anyway, that's right. Is that because what is a word? Because we're saying is that miktsas. If you're trying to write a word, in order to be miktsas, it has to be quantitatively miktsas, but qualitatively it has to be a word. So you have to be writing a word. If you're trying to write a word, you have to write a word. So the question is Aleph a word? Right? If you try to write Aleph, you definitely chayv, because it's at least letters, it's letters or a word, who really cares? But now that your kavana was to write a word, Azreka, so in order to be chayv, you have to be writing a word. The question is Aleph a word? If it's amulet, Aleph a word? So the question is, what is a word? Right? What is your definition of a word? And it must be that there's going to be two definitions of a word, one of which will say Aleph is a word, another definition of a word will say Aleph is not a word. You follow me? Okay, I mean, I think that's just, if you just want to state the simplest question, I think that's That's halachically what you're defining. Okay, and that's important. That's an important first step. So now, what are the two definitions of a word? Okay, good. So let me go with David here. Okay. So the thing is like this: is that you have a, such a thing as letters. You have a letter, and then you have words. Okay, letters and words. So you could say that a word is, it's like a structure consisting of letters. Okay, it's like a multiple letter structure. Okay, that's what a word is. A word is, you have a letter, you have A, B, C, whatever letters are, and then you have C, A, T. That's a structure consisting of multiple letters. So that's a word. Okay, a word is a structure consisting of multiple letters. You'll say, so why isn't A, B, R a word? CTA. Or CTA? So you'd say is because that's not an objectively recognized structure. In other words, a word words are defined by society or by people. In other words, it means that this is a structure. I'm not saying any time a random person decides to put letters together, you say that's a word. But there are structures. A word is a structure which is comprised out of letters. Okay, again, and the structure has to be an objective structure. It can't just be you're making up some random thing. There has to be an objectivity to it. But essentially, a word is where you have letters unified together to form one structure. Again, if I just have CTA, there are three independent letters. Well, it relates them. There's nothing that relates them. But when the letters are used by a group of people as a group, so now this structure is called a word. It's a grouping of letters. Okay, again, as opposed to if you just write three random letters, you've written C, you've written T, you've written A. There's no tziruf. But the tziruf here is because these come together. Aleph, aleph, come together. You've written the aleph, aleph word. What does it spell? It's aleph, aleph. That's the structure. What does it spell? That's aleph, aleph. Every amulet writer, that is a word in amulets. In amulets, sometimes they write letters, individual letters, sometimes they write words. And this is a word. This is a multiple letter entity. Okay? And as a word is an entity of multiple letters. Again, if a person doesn't, there's no tziruf if you just make up your own thing. It has to be objectively recognized as a word. But if in the amulet dictionary you'll find aleph, aleph, so this is a word. That's a structure. Whereas we hold, or the other way to go, is that a word is not just a structure of multiple letters, but a word has a certain function associated with it, which is that it reads. It has there's the letters, it's not just a grouping of letters in some random way. But letters are noise, they're sound makers, and a word is a structure which, multiple letters, which conveys a certain meaning through sounds. Because there's a function of the manner in which this structural entity of a word works. The function is through the sounds of letters. That it spells something. Aleph Aleph does not spell anything. It's not Aleph Aleph for an amulet guy. It's an ah. It's a structure which is used objectively in amulets, but it doesn't say anything. It doesn't spell anything. So it's a different type of a function. It's a word which has a different type of a function than our idea of word. So the question is the entity, when halacha and ksiva recognizes the phenomenon of a word, of words and letters, is the difference simply like is it one individual letter or is it a structure of multiple letters? Is that the difference between word and letter? In which case, aleph aleph is fine. It's a structure of multiple letters. Or do you say the difference between word and letters is that letters is just an individual thing? A word is a type of a functional entity. Like in a language, a word has a function associated with it. So it's true, it is a multiple letters, but the multiple letters isn't the point. The multiple letters is what brings about the function of pronunciation, of saying a word. So there's a word is if there's a function associated with word, so then aleph aleph does not have the function of a word. It may be a different function, it may scare people or whatever, but it's not the way in which the letters come together isn't one of speech or of sounds. It's just a different type of a combination of letters which amulet writers use. The 99.99% of group structural groups of letters are words insofar as the sounds are made and the sounds combine to form a word as we know it. Meaning, you read the letters and that produces a sound. That's the way most things are. But the question is that function of reading is part of the halachic definition of word? Or is it that just, in fact, that's usually the case, but the concept, the underlying idea, the essence of word, is the idea of multiple letters, is the idea of an entity consisting, a structure. Essentially, it's a structure of multiple letters. And the function may happen to be there's a normal function which comes along with it, but that's not the halachic definition of the entity of a word. That's just what usually comes along with it. Or again, or is the function part of the very definition, or the halachic definition of what a word is? That function. Not just any function, that function. Of course, there's a function of like an amulet, it's a different function. Different function, don't call it a word, call it something else. But that's, that's a different type of a thing. That's a scary device, or whatever it is. But the question is the function which we associate with words part of the definition of the word, or is it just a superadded thing which normally exists? But essentially, a word is just a structure. Like, just maybe a better example you could relate to is like Yud-Yud. In, for Shem Hashem, then it's there and there, Yud-Yud or whatever. So Yud-Yud, I'd say, is the same kind of a thing. It doesn't spell anything. But it represents, it is a structure. It's a structure of letters. It's not just a random, like Yud, Bez, or whatever. It's a Yud and a Bez. It's nothing to do with it. There's no structure there. It's just two random letters that happen to be next to each other. But Yud is a structure of two letters. It's a two-letter structure. But it doesn't have the function of words. The standard function of words doesn't have. The function of words is that letters function to make noises, and the noises combine together, and they form a greater sound. But Yud doesn't spell anything. It's not Yi. It's a different function. The question is when the Torah and Ksiva recognizes the idea of letters and the idea of a word, does the idea of a word, is it purely just a structural, it's a letter is one thing, and a word is a structure, a grouping, a multiple letters? Or do you say that when Ksiva recognizes the entity of a word, it's not just multiple letters, but it has a new function associated with it, a function of reading. It's a structure, it's a grouping of letters which has that function associated with it. You can see saying is, look, it's a structure, the physics is a structure, there's a letter, there's multiple letters, the two different entities. Or is it a function? I would say that's the same nafkamina. I'm claiming it's not because kameas are rare. I mean, it doesn't matter how rare or common you make it. I mean, it could be everyone in Kleisel uses it. The point isn't the rarity, because what's the difference? I mean, a word's a word. Like I said, mathematicians may be the only people who use pi, it's for pi, but whatever, that doesn't make a difference. And so the word's a word. It's the difference how big the class is. It's because of the fact that it doesn't spell anything. It doesn't say sounds. It's a different concept of words. The question is, in the Torah's objectification of the idea of word, is that function a component of the idea of word, of that type of kosev? What do you say? That type of kosev is just a structure. It's a structural entity. In a certain sense, Rav Shimon's positing less. He's saying there's a ksav of letters and a ksav of word. So what's the difference? The difference is that there's one individual letters, which you could write, or you could write a structure. A structure consisting of multiple letters. Now, certain times, letters can function as individual entities, in which case you need to do two of them. Or they can function as components of a building block of a greater structure. And when you take a structure comprised of individual letters, that's called a word.
But why isn't only structures recognized by language?
No, it's not only structures recognized by language. It just has to be objective. Otherwise, if it's not recognized by anybody, then you don't say it's a structure. Then if I just write CTA, so I have just three letters, C, then T, then A. What's the tsiraf? So, but if a Khmer writers write CTA and it's agreed upon that CTA is a unit, so then I'm writing the structure of the CTA structure. But if there's no such agreement, then who said that's a structure? Because I want it to be a structure, I'm just writing three individual letters. Then I'm just writing letters. And I'm just doing a number of letters.
And what does structure mean?
A structure means where the letters have a relationship to one another. So the relationship to them, to one another, comes through convention.
But wouldn't it just be read through letters together? There's a relationship.
But next to each other?
Yeah.
No. Because what's shaykhus? Sometimes you're just writing letters. I'm practicing my letters. What shaykhus? What unifies them? Mm-hmm. Be like if I have bricks. I have three bricks right next to each other. You don't say they're an entity. You have to put like cement between them.
Oh,
So they just happen to be sitting next to each other. What's the tziruf? So the mitzarif is the convention. Convention says that this isn't just the letter. I'm not, this isn't just letters. But when you put C-A-T together, it's not just letters. That's an entity. Mm-hmm. And when you put Aleph-Aleph together, that's not just letters. That's a kameya. That's an entity. You know, but if you put together random CTA, that's just three random letters. So he's writing letters. So when you have, there's certain structures which people agree upon, that which man agrees upon to be words. But now, it's true, usually they happen to function through spelling, but other times they can function through Kameo writing or whatever. Mm-hmm. So in other words, Rabbi Shimon's saying less. He's saying that the difference between words and letters, he's saying, so why posit a new thing called a function? Whereas there's an individual entity and then there's a structure. Whereas we hold, I guess we hold, not Rabbi Shimon, but the Shidichidi hold, that the function which is ordinarily associated with words is not just happenstance, but that is actually part of the definition of word. The difference between letters and words is letters are just individual sounds, and words are groups of sounds which come together to form a pronounced entity. And Aleph Aleph, although it happens to not just be two random letters, there's a zero between the two, and it may be a structure, but that's not a word. A word has a function as well. Another way to say it, I forgot about this. This is the way I wanted to say it. Ilan wanted to say it a little differently, but it's similar. But you could say everyone agrees that words have a structure and the function is associated with that structure. But the question is, in order to be a miktsas, it's here you are trying to write a word. You're trying to write a word, azreka. In order to be a miktsas, must it have the structure and the function? Right? Or is it sufficient if you only have the structure? Must the in order to be miktsas, is it enough if you have that you have an entity of the structure? Right, where you have an entity of the structure? Or do you say that you must have the function as well? Like if you say, so to speak, the essence of a word is a structure, a structural grouping of letters, but with that structural grouping of letters has a function associated with it. Now here, you're trying to create a miktsas. Which is what's necessary to say that you've done a miktsas. Miktsas has to be kios v'mel. Is it enough just that it's kios v'mel sky and that it just has the underlying structure of a word? And even though you don't have the function, that's enough? You know, right. In other words, like this. This is what I say. In other words, if you're just lacking in quantity, that's definitely a miktsas. If you're just lacking in quantity, that's definitely a miktsas, right? Shem and Shimon. You're just lacking in quantity, you're lacking the number of letters, that's definitely a miktsas. That's enough. It's a miktsas, but it reflects the whole. Now the question is, if it's not even a word, then of course, then it's not nothing to do with a word. Then of course it can't be a miktsas. It's not good. But what about if it has the essence of a word, the essence of a word, namely a structure, but it lacks the property of a function of reading? So the question is that can that be a miktsas? Is that enough to be a miktsas, which is a kula? Is it only when it lacks in quantity that you could call it a miktsas? But if it's lacking a property of word, namely the function, then it can't be a miktsas. Then it's lacking in a chayev. Or do you say no? That as long as you have the underlying entity of a word, namely the structure, even if the function is lacking, so then it's still okay. Whereas this way is learning that definitely everyone agrees the essence of a word is essentially a structure, and a function is just a property of words. And then the question is, in terms of miktsas, if I was writing a word which has that property, do you say that it's considered a miktsas? Right, that's an afkamina. Is that, according to the way I was saying originally, the question is that a word? Is aleph aleph a word? According to this way, no, aleph aleph is definitely a word, but it's a lacking word. It's a word which has the structure, but it's lacking the property of function. And the question is, if your machshava was to write a word which has the function of ksav, the question is, could you say it's a miktsas? Is it enough if you're lacking that function? If you're lacking quantity, definitely that's okay. But the question is, what about if it's lacking that function? Is that still enough to be chayev or not? Again, as opposed to the other way, is the question is, what is... What's that?
You're breaking up.
It's kind of similar to that idea we were saying about the two letters, the multiple letters, that question. You're saying that question is where it lacks, in terms of miktsas, it's lacking the full productivity in the maisa, but the cheftza really has the full productivity, because it's a word. Here, the chafetz itself is lacking a characteristic. It's lacking a feature, namely of being a sound, of having a function of reading. But it is it does have the essential idea of a word. As good as if you have the essential idea of a word, but it's lacking the property, the structure is lacking the property of a sound, of readability. The question is that still a mixas? This is all within saying that you don't need this the mixas to be in terms of the maisa, you know, the productivity, only in terms of the chafta. But what about in the chafta? If you're lacking merely a quantity, that's definitely enough to be chayiv. Question is, what about if you're not lacking a quantity, but you're lacking an accidental feature which your machshava was going for, namely the readability? Is that still enough to be for Torah to be mechayiv? That's one way. That's one of the svaras. That's Ilan svar. The way I was saying it is the question is a word different svar? Is the word essentially really just a structural entity? In which case, this is mixas. You know, a struct function is like an extraneous thing. It's not part of the halachic definition of a word. Or do you say that a word is essentially a function is an essential component of it, in which case it's not a mixas? I guess in Ilan's way, it's a smaller machlokas, but it's harder to see the two sides exactly. It's kind of like, is that enough? In my way, it's like a bigger split. It's easier to see the two sides, but it's a bigger chiddush because I'm positing more on one side to say that it's a bigger machlokas. Let's think about it a little bit more. Maybe we could get a little better. Maybe we get a little better. I don't know, either mine or Ilan's or a new one. I mean, I think. I think in a raw form we have a good idea. Maybe we could sharpen it up a little bit. That's one thing I'd like to do next. And then we still have Tosus learns the Ish Mefarshim. By the way, the Ritva actually learns this. The Nosar of Kol Chidushe Ritva. Okay, he actually breaks down only this one. Alav Alav means Amen Amen. So the question is, how does that affect this discussion? Okay, how does that affect this discussion? Okay, for instance, does he reject, what would the Amen Amen guy say about Aleph Aleph? What do you think about that? What would the Amen Amen guy say about it, the other way? It sounds like, if you say Amen Amen, it sounds like they don't like Rashi and Tosfos and Rabbeinu Chananel's way. It's the Aleph Aleph, which doesn't spell anything. What kind of thing is that? Sounds like they're not willing to go for that. Aleph Aleph, Amen Amen, that, they're willing to, see, that's a little better than just Aleph Aleph, nothing. Right? No, so it seems like there's machlokas within. I mean, first of all, the question is, what's the svara according to the Eish Mefarshim of the machlokas between Rishon and the Chachamim? Could we say the same thing? Is it different? Or is it going to have to change? And then what's the machlokas between the Eish Mefarshim and everyone else? And it's going to lead us into this Nochikon thing. But I think maybe we could give a basic approach before we get into the kasha from Nochikon. But I mean, the next thing we're going to have to do is go to Nochikon. But let's see if we could give a basic idea of the question here. You know, just try to think about this whole area. It's the changing it from being Aleph Aleph to being Amen Amen. Okay? So let's keep you busy a little bit.